I want to talk about baptism in relationship to the gift of the Holy Spirit as the gift of faith. Millions and millions and millions and billions of people get baptized. But for most, they don't get baptized, they just get wet. Let's go to Romans 6. This is not what I thought that I was going to study, so just you'll have to bear with me. What?
My dad used to say they get buried alive.
Yeah. I would have liked your dad.
That's why that's so bad. Yeah, it was baptism that killed you. You reckon you're dead before you go down.
The idea of infant baptism is, it's okay. I mean, I don't care if people do it, but the point of it is that it emphasizes the fact that the child is covered by their parents. But baptism in relationship to the gift of faith, the gift of the Holy Spirit, is critical, because unless baptism is seen as burial of all of you, and that a new creation rises, then God will not ever allow the gift of faith to be shared with flesh. And so it provides the opportunity for incredible misuses and fraud and leading people astray. And even here, where we emphasize so totally that before baptism, you must recognize that you died with Christ on the cross, and baptism is just your burial, you'll never understand the gift of faith, because you will continually try to emphasize the sin nature, which is self-realization. And so let's go to Romans 6. Well, that's Romans 5, verse 17, I'm sorry. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one. It's hard for us to believe that death reigned from Adam to Christ.
Yeah, death being the separation. That separation from God continues.
Right, but it's also, I mean, we can spiritualize it, but until you reckon that you are dead, then baptism is meaningless. And so, if by one man's offense death reigned by that one person, now remember, the whole world is deceived. The whole world is wandering after the beast. And so this is why that the reckoning of yourself as dead with Christ on the cross becomes crucial to any kind of meaningful Christianity, or any kind of anything that you can properly call Christian. Verse 18, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, it should say all were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Shall we continue in self that grace may abound? Remember, the essence of sin is self-realization. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to self live any longer therein? Know you not that it's so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. But you can't be, if baptism isn't seen as your total and complete burial, then by definition, you cannot be in the likeness of his resurrection. Remember the thing we talked about Friday. God first tested man in innocency in the garden. Man could have transformed the innocency into holiness by antagonism. That failed. Then the fall happened. Then he tested man without law. And the flood came. Then he tested with the restraints of human authorities, the so-called Noachian law. Then came idolatry. Then he chose one family to deal with. And it was only bondage. Then he gave the perfect law, and there was only rebellion. Then he sent the prophets, and they were stoned. Then he sent prophets greater, and they were stoned and beaten and killed. Then he sent his son. He was cast out and crucified. And finally, the last test was, Christ, the resurrected Christ, breathed on them the Holy Spirit.
What was the perfect law?
The law on the Mount Sinai, the perfect law. And then he gave them Christ breathed on them the Holy Spirit, and they returned to their old life to try to be successful. All failed. The flesh is to be no more tested. It's settled that it's lost and hopeless. And baptism and burial sealed. Baptism sealed the death and burial of the flesh. There is never again anything going on with you. Never. Therefore, any time you think that something is going on with you, the baptism, you have allowed the one who has been resurrected from the dead, from the deadly head wound, to reign. You've allowed the instead of Christ, you, to reign, because you gave him breath by making him or her the subject of your sentence. Oh, this is so nice to talk about me. Does this really grab you? He made then a people of himself, he being God. And the only one he made of himself was Christ. And on the Feast of Pentecost, that seed, that sperma of God, was shed on all flesh. But more so, much more. Because it wasn't just the sperm that again left dependent the growth of that on you. No. Because it was the adoption, the placing of the fullness of the Son within you in His humility. And all that it takes is for you to get out of the way. But if you struggle in your life with issues, no matter how righteous you think the struggle is, then you are sowing to the flesh, and of the flesh you will reap corruption. There's no in between. There's no way you can make you and your future and your what's best for you the subject of your sentence and do anything but you're sowing to the flesh, and of the flesh you will reap corruption. Now, let's go to Isaiah 8. Let's just go to verse 13. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him alone be your fear, and let him alone be your dread. And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and snared and taken. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. You either fall on the rock and are broken, or the rock falls on you and you're destroyed. Because it's only as a broken vessel, as a vessel with no more self-interest, is the gift of faith revealed. Now, everything else is heresy. You can sit and muse over your life and muse over your future. Think about your past and what if. And the more that you make you the subject of your sentence, the more you give life to the instead of Christ. And it's not just making you the subject, it's making your perceptions the subject. Do you understand what I mean by that? Oh, this place that I was really beautiful. Or, this place reminds me of that place. Or, it's all a subtle attempt by the evil one to resurrect himself. Truth has no reference except to itself. I don't know how to say that better. The Lord's Prayer probably says it more than... I mean, the Lord's Prayer is the perfect prayer, if you only see. Our Father, you recognize that this is no longer the issues, the man on earth is no longer your Father. Our Father, which art in heaven, which art in the place of no time, hallowed, venerated be your name. You stop venerating every single time that you fail to give thanks for whatever situation you're in. Not give thanks because you're trying to make a thank offering, or let's make a clap offering to Jesus. But you give thanks from the core of your being for every possible situation that you're in. That's what it means to say, hallowed be thy name. What?
I didn't say that.
You did in your head.
No,
what did you say?
I didn't say
that. Gary,
just... Right a lot of times, but this time you're not. I said something a few minutes ago.
You left. That's all I know. Is you left.
I had compassion for you a few moments ago. Did you sit and you say some really cool things, and nobody's face changes. Everybody's face stays the same. It looks like nobody gets it. But I think people are getting it. It's the face doesn't change, you know? So it's kind of... encouraging work to you.
Your face, nice try, but your face didn't change.
What changed?
The something left the room.
I don't have a
point. Okay. Think of it. You fail to hallow His name, if you don't give thanks for the pain, for the poverty, for the confusion, for whatever happens, whatever is, and you're giving thanks to His name because you know He is your life and you are no longer your business. But you also fail to give thanks when you forget. Now you've got something.
Well, now I remember. Now I know why you said what you said. I couldn't get it before, but when you said give thanks in every situation, that's a real wake up call, because that's not what I do all the time. It's not natural. myself doesn't do that. And I was just saying, if I don't see correctly, I will not do it. If my eyes are open and I understand, then yes, it will happen. It's not something you can say, do, and then I perform it, then I won't do that.
No, but you can always repent.
Yeah, that's the only thing you can do.
Remember the proclamation of Christ. Right after His baptism and His temptation in the wilderness. Time is fulfilled. Time is over. The set time, the set feast day of the Lord is come. The kingdom of God is here. Now repent and believe the gospel. That can never leave your face. The repent doesn't, I'm sorry I did that. Oh, I'm sorry I did that again and again and again. No. Repent is to leave you behind. How far then is your sin from you? As far as the east is from the west. How far is the east from the west? Depends on which way you're facing. Hey, the ambulances are coming for all the wounded in here. Do you understand that about repentance? Your sin is as far as the east is from the west. How far is the east from the west? Only which way you're looking. By definition, if you're looking towards either remembering the past with some kind of fondness or looking towards the future, then you're facing east. If you look west, then you're facing what? What looks like darkness. There's no future coming over. There's no tomorrow because you're looking west. You're only looking towards the setting of the sun. Let's go to Isaiah 29. Ariel is Jerusalem, but it's also your Jerusalem. Where is your Jerusalem? Your Jerusalem is a place from where you get your instructions. Your Jerusalem is your Sanhedrin. It's board of elders in your mind, these voices that you love. Why do you love those stupid voices? You don't like some of them. But mostly you like the voices. You like that Sanhedrin. You like your Jerusalem that now is because it keeps you in control. Even thinking negative things about the voices assumes then that there could be a positive thing about the voices. That's why he demands that there be silence in the temple. That's why you must bring every thought, every voice into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That's why you cannot allow this thing. You cannot, there's no thought that can stand against it is finished. I've told you that for 30 years. But you think it's that must be for somebody else. Or that's just when I'm thinking about God stuff. The question is, how could I survive? These voices have been my buddies. But you're lying with a perfect lie if you ever think they're your friend. I've told you this often. Your mind and your voices have not once in your entire life been your friend. But you don't believe that. Your emotions have not once been your friend. Woe to Ariel, the city where David dwelt. Add you year to year. Let them kill the sacrifice. You don't kill any sheep up there. But think of the sacrifices and offerings that you make in your Jerusalem. Think about it. It's endless. Yet I will distress Ariel, and there shall be heaviness and sorrow, and it shall be unto me as Ariel. And I will camp against thee round about, and I will lay siege against thee with a mount, and I will raise forts against thee. And thou shalt be brought down, and shall speak out of the ground, and thy speech shall be low out of the dust, and thy voice shall be as one that hath a familiar spirit out of the ground, and thy speech shall whisper out of the dust. Moreover, the multitude of thy strangers shall be like small dust, and the multitude of the terrible ones shall be as chaff that passeth away. Yea, it shall be at an instant, suddenly. Thou shalt be visited of the Lord of hosts with thunder and with earthquake and great noise and with storm and tempest and the flame of devouring fire. And the multitude of all the nations or people that fight against Ariel, even all that fight against her and her munition, and that distress her shall be as a dream of a night vision. It shall even be as when a hungry man dreameth, and behold, he eateth. But he awakeneth, and his soul is empty. Or as when a thirsty man dreameth, and behold, he drinketh, but he awakeneth. He awaketh, and behold, he is faint, and his soul hath appetite. So shall the multitude of all the nations be that fight against the true Mount Zion. Stay yourselves and wonder. Cry you out and cry. They are drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. What are they drunk with if it's not wine or strong drink? They're drunk with the wine of Ephraim, the wine of self-seeking, which is all of Isaiah 28 was about. You've got to go to war with these voices, this board of elders. Well, how can I live if I don't have those voices? Well, if you still think that there is strength and solutions within that arena, then you've got to go do it. But do it with the knowledge that he's set up mounts and fortresses and munitions against you so that you will always fail. Until you become as an empty vessel, until there's silence in the temple of the living God. For you are the temple of the living God. How do you know that you left the mystery? It's very, very simple. The minute you leave peace, the minute there's the slightest hint of anxiety in your thought process, you, because that activity is what defines the, even if you go to war with it, with the natural tools, but you're still giving it importance.
You're not laboring to solve a problem, you're laboring to enter into the rest.
Yeah, there is no thing that you can conceive of that can stand against it is finished, it is perfect. But what happens? Some little shiny thing comes up and dangles in front of you. I've got a great idea. I know what I'll do about this. I've got this great plan. Here's what I'll do about that. And the minute you do, you've invited yourself into the pit. It'll just be a matter. It used to be years, maybe, before you went to the pit. Because the more you've heard, the more you've heard, the more you've heard, the distance between the time of the idea or the light bulb going off in your head and the time you enter the pit is very short and very short. It gets shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter until hopefully it's instantaneous that you see you go into the pit and you're out. And then you see this great idea, this great thing, this wonderful thing is going to give me sustenance and life. And you say, that's BS. I'm not even going to give it the time of day. And Jersey boy,
the length of time from your initial public offering and your .com startup until bankruptcy is short.
And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, and the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. You can go on down and you'll see this isn't talking about something that's going to happen in the future. This happens every single time you give life, you give credence to one of the thought processes. That you give credence to you in the slightest dimension. Now, I know this has touched you. You couldn't have heard this without either disagreeing or saying, oh, shit. What? How many people here are excusing it by saying, well, I have to go through this and I have to do that because I have to make a living?
No, I'm saying, oh, shit.
Gary?
Shuts up your mouth. You know? The last thing you said, especially about the pit, the black smoke.
And the locusts come, and what they do, they're doing the same thing. They're doing the seven plagues that Israel was exempted from. I mean, the seven plagues that destroyed Egypt, that destroyed the gods of Egypt. Because you've accepted one of the gods, and so now the locusts are coming, or darkness is coming, or because you've allowed one of the gods to resurrect it, or all of them. And remember, God, the only reason that God sent the plagues to Egypt was to see, so that you could see what they are. A living example. This isn't a foretelling the future.
It's not the black helicopters. I like the black helicopters that I do. I don't have to think about
it. That's just goofy. You want the gift of faith? It costs you your life. Once and for all time. Or do you want to continue living? Doing your own thing? Seeking your own pleasure? It's all right with me. But I promise you that what I'm saying is not an opinion. Because I've lived it many, many times. Now contrast that with you are they that continue with me in my test, my temptation, so that every single thing that you confront is just given to Him. That's all. That is no longer the subject. You're no longer the subject of your sentence. It's a simple, simple thing. And then the fact that you say you love Him becomes tested because love is waiting on Him. And so you rejoice even in that solution because more of Him is revealed. You give thanks in every possible situation you're in, and so you hallow His name. Why don't you just continue on your life?
Hallowing His name is like we're taking His name away from all the other names that you want to honor right. And venerate and all that kind of stuff and putting Him exclusively.
Exclusive. Only there. Him. Only His name. Anything else?
It gets quicker and quicker to like to feel sick in my stomach when I have thoughts about my problem or whatever comes up. It's like, I can see that.
But, Michael? You see?
Yeah.
What? You're in the I don't want to move position.
No, absolutely not.
Did you ever take a course in body language?
No, this is comfortable.
All righty, take a big guy.
Sometimes a cigar is just...